follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. Why are so many people sailing at half mast these days? And worse yet, how many of them have been living that way for so long they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Well, too many individuals suffer from a condition. It's a condition of acceptance, and they're really guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, hopefully not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, as you know, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. Now, I've done a lot of shows on obesity. I've had some of the world's leading experts on obesity. We've done best-selling author of The Zone. We've had the best-selling author of The Paleo Diet. We've had the best-selling author of Good Calories, Bad Calories. The list just goes on and on. It's one of my specialties. But we always learn something when we have a specialist on the show, and they can share kind of a different insight, perhaps something we haven't heard quite before. And here's what we have to realize. There are now nearly three times the amount of North Americans who are obese today. This is compared to the 1960s. And a real, very startling statistic is that six times the amount of North Americans are now morbidly obese, which means they have a body mass index of above 40. Now, the problem is that the great majority of doctors that you expect to have all the answers when it comes to your health really don't have a clue what to do when it comes to obesity. I mean, how many times have you heard a doctor say something like, well, just eat less and exercise more, and it's all about willpower? Surely by now we should understand that this equation does not equal success for the majority of the population. And obviously, if it did, we would have solved the obesity epidemic a very long time ago. The truth is that as we age, we actually suffer a multitude of changes that impact our body weight regulation. We have hormone imbalances, insulin insensitivity, cellular energy dysfunction, a decline in our resting energy expenditure. And this actually means that even if you don't consume a single calorie more after the age of 40, compared to, let's say, the amount of food that you ate when you were 20 or 25, our aging physiology is going to predispose us to gain weight. It's as simple as that, especially if we do the wrong things. The truth is that those tiny little scurrying chemical messengers that we call hormones are really the ones responsible for setting the stage for metabolic decline. Sex hormones, for instance, control how we look, how we feel, and believe it or not, even how we think. Studies in the past few years have shown that low estrogen in women and low testosterone in men are strongly correlated with obesity, blood sugar dysregulation, the list just goes on. In fact, in my book, Beer Belly Blues, I discuss how the compelling evidence that low testosterone levels are not only markers for developing things like the metabolic syndrome and obesity, they actually might be the cause. Today's expert is one of the country's leading experts on women's health and hormone therapy. She studied and practices anti-aging and integrative medicine in the greater Hartford, Connecticut area. She is board certified in obstetrics, and gynecology, fellow of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and a diplomat of the Board of Anti-Aging Medicine, an advanced fellow in anti-aging medicine and regenerative medicine. Please welcome the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss. We have with us once again Dr. Alicia Stanton. Dr. Stanton, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, you know, we've got a lot to discuss. We've got to get right into this. And you were on the show. You were actually one of my favorite guests. We had a lot of emails come in after you were on the show, and you spoke a lot about women's issues and women's health. You wrote this incredible book called Hormone Harmony a few years back. So why don't you tell us, first of all, how does The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss, how does that differ from this book, Hormone Harmony, that you already wrote?
Well, one of the things that Hormone Harmony did was first tie the concept that your hormones are related to your stress levels, to your diet, to, you know, to toxin exposure, what's going on in your life. And we were able to kind of tie that together and introduce that concept. What The Complete Idiot's Guide does is take that a step further, really further explains those connections. But it also goes through, I talk about seven different principles to weight loss with balancing your hormones.
Okay, we're going to get into those. I want to actually, in the second half of the show, we'll kind of count those down, and then people can get a pad of paper and a pen, and they can write them down. But how do our hormones affect our weight? Because we hear about, you know, all these different hormones in the body. There are so many of them. You know, we've got insulin. So many people have written books about insulin and how it causes us to get fat. But you're not just talking about insulin. You're talking about a lot of hormones that contribute to this problem.
I am. I'm talking about all the different hormones that we have in our body, including, you know, insulin is an important one, but cortisol, estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, DHEA, all of those hormones have a connection to our weight. And you touched on it when you were discussing your book, The Beer Belly Blues, with men with testosterone. And what's interesting is I actually just a couple months ago completed a chapter for the book, the textbook of integrative medicine on male hormone replacement therapy. And the studies that you were talking about are very true. They have a huge connection between testosterone levels and weight gain in men and their risk for things like Alzheimer's, diabetes, and a number of other issues as well.
So let me ask you this, and I had a very controversial MD on the show a little ways back, and I really disagreed with a lot of what he was saying, and I mean, I'm pretty alternative. I'm almost as alternative as they come, but one of the things he said, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, was that every single man over the age of 40 should be on testosterone replacement therapy regardless of what their testosterone evaluation test would actually say. And what do you think about that?
I actually agree with you, Brad, in that the issue is that the majority of men over the age of 40 probably have lower testosterone levels than their grandfathers did, because of all the different influences we have right now, all the different toxins, the stress levels. And it's not just emotional stress, but it's stress from the computers that we're getting, the different types of radiation, all kinds of things that create stress on our body as well. So that tends to lower testosterone levels.
Okay.
However, I think there's a lot of things that men can do to naturally enhance their testosterone. They don't all need replacement, because once you start replacing testosterone, you shut down natural production. So I work with my male patients to really do the things that are going to optimize their natural levels first, and then, you know, go from there.
Okay, so, you know, I wasn't planning on going down this route, but we're here already, so let's just keep on this subject of testosterone, because it's very misunderstood, and we're not just talking about for men. Let's get your opinion on this. What about for women? Because we hear about estrogen replacement therapy, we hear about progesterone replacement therapy, thyroid, so on and so forth, but you very rarely hear about testosterone in women. So before we continue on with men, when do you look at testosterone, and when do you prescribe, or do you prescribe testosterone for women?
I definitely will utilize testosterone for women who have low testosterone. And we'll take this one step back so that we can kind of encompass the initial thing we were talking about with how hormones are connected to weight and everything, and then I'll go into with women because I think it's very important. One of the key issues that people don't understand or appreciate is that our steroid hormone pathways, and steroids all come from cholesterol. That's basically the basis of how they're made. And the cholesterol can follow two pathways. One pathway goes on to make cortisol, which is one of our stress hormones, and the other pathways go on to make our sex hormones, estrogen and testosterone.
Right.
And if you have a lot of stress going on, you're going to push the cholesterol more down the pathway towards cortisol production and away from estrogen and testosterone.
So is this one of the main reasons that people have a very low libido when they're highly stressed out?
It is one of the huge reasons for that. There's a couple of them, but one is because a lot of times it's going to lower testosterone production and reduce libido. Another thing is if you think about our fight-or-flight response, if you are trying to outrun a saber-toothed tiger, you are not thinking about reproducing right that very second. So there's two reasons why,
right.
You know, and that, but you're right. A lot of people that are very stressed, their libido goes down and they can't figure out why.
Right. So here's the thing. I mean, I formulate products for the industry. I formulated a men's line of products, actually for male menopause, which I call the Beer Belly Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Things that actually don't just help to elevate testosterone naturally in the body. And we, you know, it's very hard to raise testosterone, but you can do it in a roundabout way by blocking certain enzymes in the body that degrade testosterone. I mean, for instance, you know, you would test for something called aromatase,
right.
which converts a lot of our testosterone as men into estrogen. And there are natural things people can take, like chrysin, if it's bound with something that allows it to get into the body. That allows for less of that enzyme to be produced, more testosterone. You can protect some of the negative types of estrogens that are produced, those 16 varieties, by giving cruciferous extracts. But when we talk about testosterone replacement therapy, in some cases, you know, even all these natural compounds, they aren't going to work in everybody. So is that the only time that you would recommend that a man or a woman goes on testosterone replacement therapy?
Essentially, I would recommend that a man or woman goes on testosterone therapy if their testosterone levels are demonstrated to me to be very low. And if it's creating significant symptoms. I mean, I have men that come see me that, you know, just can't get out of their own way. They're depressed, they're overweight, and sometimes I will start them on therapy. In addition, the deal has to be that you're also going to start eating right, you're going to reduce your stress levels, you're going to get your sleep and do all the right things that are going to support it. And sometimes they can actually come off of therapy once they've built themselves up.
Okay. Interesting. And we have to realize, I just want to end on this note that, you know, there's significant research that shows that, obesity does cause low testosterone,
mm-hmm.
but low testosterone also causes obesity. You know, and there's many factors behind that. We're going to be talking about so many things today. I mean, testosterone, we just happened to get it out of the way. We're going to get into estrogen and all these other hormones and thyroid hormones. And at the end of the day, what Dr. Statin is really going to show you through this incredible book is really what to do. How do you learn to balance these hormones, and how do you allow fat to become an energy source for the body? Because that is the problem. Fat is not being used as energy. It's being stored for future energy and never touched. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. We will be right back after these messages.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, brought to you by Enzymedica, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment rising to levels not seen since the Great Depression.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. What an interesting guest and an interesting topic. You know, we are now facing an obesity epidemic of epic proportions, that, no pun intended, by the way. One-third of women, a quarter of men, go on these ridiculous diets, and they're fad diets, and they do this at any given time. These diets will never solve their obesity problems, as they're nothing more than short-term solutions to what we know is a lifelong problem, and that's a problem of metabolic dysfunction that is usually caused by a disruption with our key messengers. Those are our hormones. See, losing weight and keeping it off entails more than just eating right and exercising more. Hormonal changes due to stress, environmental toxins, lack of sleep, estrogen loss, testosterone loss, and thyroid problems, and there's many more, can lead to weight gain no matter how well you might eat or how much you might exercise. Our hormones work together to keep our bodies functioning, or at least they should, at optimal levels, and when they're out of balance, well, weight loss can easily come to a screeching halt. Please welcome back the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss, Dr. Alicia Stanton. So, Dr. Stanton, we spoke about testosterone. We spoke about testosterone replacement therapy, natural ways to raise testosterone in men. And one of the things that you didn't quite get to was testosterone in women, and I was hoping you could pick it up there.
I sure can. I think that testosterone in women is very important, and it's overlooked. The number of women that I have come to see me who may have started, you know, hormone replacement therapy after menopause elsewhere and are on, you know, estrogen only or maybe estrogen and progesterone, not many people look at testosterone levels. And what's interesting is the ovary is our major source of testosterone, even in, you know, after menopause. And that level drops down significantly. So if you add, as we talked about, cortisol, our stress hormone, if you have a lot of stress and you're diverting your building blocks to make cortisol and you're not making that testosterone, that is even makes it all worse.
Okay. So, and one other thing I just want to get your opinion on, when we did speak about hormone replacement therapy in men and getting tested, let's face it, there's a lot of doctors that really don't even know how to read these tests properly because the laboratory reference ranges are age-adjusted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you, what would you say to the average doctor who's looking at a test and the lab comes back and says, no, you're kind of in the normal stage? Because a lot of doctors would say, well, I guess you don't need testosterone.
Exactly. And I use labs as kind of a reference to make sure that I'm not way too much or way too little. But I tell my patients, looking at lab values is kind of like shoe sizes. If you think about it, the vast majority of us are, you know, maybe let's pick between a shoe size of 5 and 10, okay? So let's just say that 90% of us have shoe sizes between 5 and 10. So that's in the normal range. Well, if you come into my office and you are a size 9 and I give you a 7, you're going to put it on and it's not going to fit. But I'm going to be like, well, you're in the range, so you should be fine. It's obviously in your head. You know, something's wrong with you because, you know, you're in the range. And I look at the lab test number plus the symptoms for my patient. So if I have a gentleman who is, you know, coming in and he is depressed and he's fatigued and he is gaining weight, especially in his belly area, and he can't seem to get rid of it, and the libido is low, all of those things are screaming at me, low testosterone.
Right.
And those kinds of things, if he comes in, even if he's at the lower limit of the normal range, I'm going to say, you know what, you're symptomatic. You must be a size 9, and you're only at a 6 right now.
Okay.
So we'll bump you up a little bit.
Fair enough. And also, it's important to understand you are a diplomat of anti-aging medicine, too. So it's a little different than an average MD who's, you know, done the schooling to become a medical doctor. You know, you look at things differently than someone who has not gone through that added criteria. And I think what's interesting about that is in anti-aging medicine or longevity, whatever you want to call it, you know, we are trying to emulate that at which we had when we were at the peak of our vitality. So do you also look at hormone levels for men and women when they were at their peak, let's say in their 20s?
I do look at them closer to the peak. I don't try to, like, push everybody to a specific level.
Sure.
Like, I don't think, because God knows, I don't think I want to be 20 again. 20s were, you know, that was a really cool
Dr.
time.
Dr. Sen, come on.
We're talking medical school residency, all that stuff. But I definitely shoot for, you know, like, mid-30s, you know, like, you know, whatever, not a specific number, really how they're feeling.
Okay. So here's the other thing. Since we're on the subject of the sex hormones, and I know we've got a lot to cover today, and I want to get into estrogen next, but while we're on this subject of sex hormones, and you brought up, you know, the steroid hormones can take one of two pathways. They can create the stress hormone, cortisol, or the sex hormones. Well, these come from this molecule called cholesterol. So what about the problems of all of these statin medications that were literally blocking one of the most important biochemicals that could ever be produced by the body?
Do you really want to get me started?
I do. I absolutely do. I think this is very important.
This, to me, I just think is a travesty. And it's multifaceted. One of the key points that I want people to understand that many doctors don't understand, and I didn't understand for a long time until I really looked at it, is that the major cause of a high cholesterol in the majority of Americans right now is the sugar intake, the amount of sugar that we're taking that we're converting into fat.
Right.
So, you know, that's step number one, because when people have high cholesterol, they're immediately told to go on a low cholesterol diet, and so they, you know, start eating snack wells and things like that, and they increase the sugar content, so they're naturally going to fail their diet and become statin deficient and require statins. So what I see all the time is these men and women that are put on statin medications to reduce their cholesterol because they failed their diet. And you're right, it shuts off cholesterol production. And they shoot to have the numbers go very low. I mean, I've seen, you know, recommendations for cholesterols of 120 and 100.
Come on. Are you serious?
And, yeah, I mean, for people that have, you know, known heart conditions or whatever, I've seen cardiologists want someone's numbers, and I've seen people come in at 110 cholesterol, and under 150, you're really not able to manufacture your steroid hormones.
Sure, sure. And also, don't forget, 50% of mostly men whose cholesterol levels are below 150 milligrams, these are the people that have very violent deaths. You know, they have more suicidal tendencies. They are the ones who suffer more from depression. There's actually a lot of research now showing cognitive dysfunction. We actually, our brain doesn't work well when we don't produce enough cholesterol, because people don't realize cholesterol is a large component of our brain as well.
Mm-hmm. I tell everybody that we're all fatheads. You know, the majority of our brain is made from cholesterol. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. But, you know, the interesting thing is that we also have receptors in our brain for things like testosterone and estrogen. But the number of men that I have come in that were put on a statin, that had their cholesterol lowered, that then became depressed or had their insulin resistance turn into diabetes or had any number of things happen to them, and then they ended up on more and more and more medications. And it's a travesty when you look at what happened and how that happened.
Sure, and I mean, aside from that, and we won't go to get into this anymore. I mean, there's the information, the research on cholesterol and heart disease, it is very inconclusive. And I think a lot of people, you know, we put all our eggs into that basket, and there's so many other things that cause heart disease. Let's talk about estrogen, because, you know, women are very privy to information out there, whether it's the right information or not. Women go for their tests. Women go on hormone replacement therapy. Why is it detrimental for a woman just to go to the doctor, walk out with a prescription for HRT, and not ask any questions of what she's just been given?
Well, I think it's very important for a woman to understand, or anybody for that matter, but especially a woman talking about hormone therapy, to understand exactly what she's getting. Is she getting hormone therapy that is the same structure as what her body would make? And her family doctor can give her that. There's a number of pharmaceutically available hormone replacement therapies that are identical to what your body would make. Or is she getting something that is not identical? You know, Premarin is the number one prescription that's not bioidentical or not the same. And that makes a difference, because the way that her body responds to that hormone is going to depend on what she's putting in. The other thing that's important, we talked estrogen, progesterone is also very important, to have that be the exact same structure rather than a progestin, which is a different structure.
So Dr. Stanton, why do you think most doctors will not prescribe the what you're calling the bioidentical hormones, the ones that we really do believe are a lot safer? Okay, there's not a lot of studies on them, but all of the studies, or the great majority of the studies on the synthetically derived hormones, or the hormones that are derived from other than a human body, these are very negative studies. So why are doctors not getting on that bandwagon?
Well, there's a couple things. I think, you know, one of the major confusions is that you can only get bioidentical hormones from a compounding pharmacy. So then you bring in the whole compounding issue, which I have to tell you, I do have the majority of my hormones compounded for my patients, because, you know, I just like to do the dosages that way. However, there are a number of pharmaceutically available, like from your neighborhood drugstore, especially estrogens, that can be used by the primary care doctors. And I think more of them are starting to do that. But I think part of it is education. They don't really know that there's a difference, because we keep lumping HRT together in one big, you know, group.
Sure. So their pharmaceutical reps are coming in, seeing them, taking them out for dinner, and telling them this is really the only way. And they're really not doing their own homework, is what you're saying.
Right. And it's, again, you know, and I have to say that when I was doing obstetrics and gynecology, I did the same thing, because, A, you don't have time. You're running around doing all these deliveries. You're trying to see 50 patients a day. You're trying to do all these things, and you don't have the time.
Yeah.
And you're relying on what other people are telling you. And I think that the huge thing as far as progesterone and the progestins go is that we, you know, as physicians, we were using that interchangeably. We figured, oh, it's all the same thing. And the reality is one of the most common progestins, Provera, which is the one that was in the Women's Health Initiative, reacts very, very differently than progesterone. And actually, the structure of progesterone is actually closer to testosterone than it is to Provera. So there's a huge difference.
Interesting.
In that.
Interesting. We're talking to Dr. Alicia Stanton today, and by the way, you can find out more information, or you can actually order her book right through Amazon.com. It's The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss. Dr. Alicia Stanton wrote Hormone Harmony, and I interviewed her on that. You're more than welcome to download that show from iTunes or just go into Voice America. Very, very interesting subject. Obviously, a lady who definitely knows her stuff, does her research. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Dr. Stanton has put together seven principles of hormone weight loss. So make sure you have your pad of paper and your pen out because you're going to want to take notes on this. It's going to be very interesting. We'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health. Once again, very, very interesting show today because our guest is extremely interesting. When are we going to wake up and realize that the answer to obesity is more than caloric restriction and fat phobia? I mean, come on, we're losing the battle of the bulge big time, and yet we won't admit it. You know, we're perversely hoping against all odds that the next diet is going to be the last one. I mean, it's the definition of insanity. Our fat cells are so good at outsmarting us, and only because they've been honing their strategies for millennia. Back in the days before agriculture and well before the refrigerator and even the mini-mart, humans were hunter-gatherers, and we foraged for nuts and berries and wild game. You know, it was really a feast or famine world, and we survived by eating as much as we could when food was plentiful and then storing any extra calories in the form of fat. And because stored body fat was our only buffer during times of famine, our bodies eventually became very good, well, you could say too good, at really converting almost anything we ate into fat. And they also became very good fat hoarders, we choosing in times of famine to sacrifice things like lean body tissue even before fat stores. Fat is our survival mechanism. We have to understand that. And even though we've managed to eradicate the feast-famine cycle in much of the world, well, our bodies haven't really changed their tactics much. And, you know, they're not going to anytime soon. I mean, I don't know if the majority of you read Drs. Mary and Dan Eads, are best-selling authors of Protein Power, and they were the ones who said, you know, we're living with these Fred Flintstone bodies bodies, but we're living in a George Jetson world. So if we're going to be successful at lifelong fat loss, we've got to eat, drink, exercise, and live our lives to work in harmony with these caveman bodies, and that also means with basically the hormones of the body. The hormones are the messengers, and they are really the ones that are going to dictate how effectively we're able to use fat as energy or store it for future use. Today's guest is one of the country's leading experts on women's health and hormone therapy. She studied and practices anti-aging and integrative medicine in the greater Hartford, Connecticut area. She wrote a bestseller called Hormone Harmony a few years ago, and we interviewed her on that book about a year ago. Please welcome the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss, Dr. Alicia Staton. Dr. Staton, you know, we spoke about testosterone, we spoke about estrogen. In your book, The Idiot's Guide, you lay out these seven principles of hormone weight loss, and I thought what we could do is go through each and every one of those seven and then have you just explain briefly what they're all about.
Certainly. The seven principles that I came up with are the things that, you know, really affect us every day. And by looking at them, we can kind of incorporate them into our lifestyle and really kind of help balance our hormones so that we really maintain our optimal weight. So the first principle is eliminate toxins. And the issue with the toxins in our society right now is that we're inundated with them. At this point, we have about 120,000 man-made chemicals that have been brought into the environment, and the number grows every single year. And a lot of these chemicals are unregulated. So we really don't even know what's going to happen with the environment or happen with our bodies as we introduce them into our systems.
Okay, so when you say eliminate toxins, because one of those toxins you're talking about is probably bisphenol A or BPA,
mm-hmm.
which is found in plastics, and, you know, a lot of companies are getting very smart about this. I mean, they used to be in children's baby bottles, and now you see a lot of BPA-free bottles coming out. So how do you recommend getting rid of these toxins? I mean, you know, would exercise be one of those ways?
Well, exercise is helpful, but what we end up doing is we first of all want to know where the toxins are and eliminate our exposure. So things like, you're right, like knowing what bisphenol A is, knowing what phthalates are, knowing how to have BPA-free bottles and cleansers in our house. There's actually a section in the book that gives you different cleaning recipes that don't have any toxins in them so that you can, you know, make your own toilet bowl cleaner out of things for your from your house that aren't going to have the phthalates and the fragrances and those kinds of things in them.
Okay, and obviously be very careful of, and women are notorious for this, they'll go out and they'll spend their last dime on the newest anti-aging face cream out but they never look for preservatives like methylparabens.
Exactly, and those all matter because it's not just a matter of taking these things in, it's a matter of processing them as well. We have our livers that have to try and process not only the food that we're taking in and everything, but also all the different toxins that we're exposed to. And, you know, I'm also looking at toxins as food additives, food pesticides, and also things like, you know, trans fats and things that are going to kind of gum up our liver and not allow us to handle the different toxins that we have exposure to.
Right. So one more argument for cleaner produce like organic then.
Exactly. And the thing that is interesting with that is, you know, look for organic things like lip balms and lipstick because we can knock ourselves out buying organic food and rinsing and washing and doing all those things, and then we eat it through, you know, our mouths that have something inorganic on them, and all our food gets contaminated that way.
Yeah, fair enough. And in the book, do you talk about different ways to enhance liver health and that type of thing to get rid of these toxins?
Exactly. I talk about a number of detoxification methods. I talk about a number of different supplements that are going to enhance your liver health. Things like, you know, I touch on colon hydrotherapy, detoxes, those kinds of things to help really balance your liver out as well.
Okay, so one more thing on that subject. Do you recommend that the majority of people supplement with something called NAC?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
And acetylcysteine, yes, I definitely recommend
great.
That.
So number NAC, two.
Yeah. And milk thistle. Number two principle is eat right. And everyone's kind of like, oh, yeah, got that, you know, whatever. But the issue is that we focus on all the processed foods that we are exposed to right now. If you go back to our grandparents, they had, you know, meat, potatoes, vegetables, and butter. But it was really, you know, purchased close to that day or fairly close to it. I don't know how old you are, but I know my generation became the hamburger helper generation.
Sure.
You know, we were started on formula because that was better than breast milk and, you know, every new and improved food. And we need to go back to the fact that the whole foods are the most important kinds of foods. And also to focus on the fact that fat is not bad.
Sure.
You know, we're so fat phobic. So those are the main principles in the Eat Right. And I know that, like I said, I know people talk about the fact that, yeah, you know, I know that stuff. But most of us don't do it. We're still reaching for a lot of the processed foods, and we're, you know, not having whole foods and organic when we can. So that's the reason.
Well, absolutely. And the, you know, when you're talking about, we're talking about obesity here. We're talking about teaching the body to become more metabolically advantageous, to use fat as energy, to create that energy substance, that ATP. And in order to do that, we've really got to limit the kinds of carbohydrates we take in. So can you just touch on that a little?
I sure can. One of the interesting things, you were talking about the hunter-gatherer.
Sure.
And, you know, all the authors that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I've read all their books. I love everything that they're talking about. So, you know, great stuff. But when you look at the hunter-gatherers, they didn't grow grains. They ate the plants that were hanging out around them. They ate the nuts and the berries and the roots. And they did not grow things. And one of the major changes that we've had in the past 10,000 years is that the introduction of grains and agriculture to our diet.
Sure.
And that has created some issues. What's interesting, if you look at paleo, they're completely against all grains. And so basically no grains, no legumes.
That's right.
I have, in my diet, suggested that the first 30 days, when you're really trying to clear everything out and really, really trying to give your adrenals a rest, that you go grain-free as well. So the first 30 days of my diet are grain-free and dairy-free. After that, you can add in gluten-free whole grains, and I recommend that you at least try gluten-free for 6 months. And the reason for that is many people are sensitive and don't realize it.
Sure.
And, you know, and if you can get your body rebalanced, many people can tolerate gluten again later on or not. And
You bring up such an interesting thing here when you talk about for the first 30 days go dairy-free and go gluten-free, because you know this, Dr. Staton, and you're just not saying it, that the majority of people, if they actually followed that, they wouldn't want to go back on those food groups.
What's interesting is once you eat that cleanly, what ends up happening is that the foods that upset you, you will know immediately. Right now, you know, if you are not eating cleanly, you end up feeling the kind of like this low level of blah, and you may have a, you know, weight that just doesn't come off, quote, no matter what you do, unquote, because you can't determine what's affecting your body.
And once you feel great, you don't want to go back to feeling not so great. I mean, it's an incredible feeling. And like I said in the very opening, a lot of people don't know. They just kind of accept this mediocrity, this, you know, oh, well, I think I'm okay. I'm not sick. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not dying. But they don't know what that optimal energy, health feels like, kind of like when they were a kid and they didn't need coffee to get through the day. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. My guest today is Dr. Alicia Staton. The book is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last four steps to her hormonal weight loss. So be ready for that, because it's going to be very interesting. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits.
Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the last section of Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. You know, we spend more than $33 billion a year annually on weight loss products and services. We skip from one fad diet to the next, and you know what? None of them seem to work. In the short term, we may lose a few pounds, but over the long term, only about 5% of dieters manage to keep off the lost weight, and the majority who don't are chagrined to find themselves fatter than when they actually even started the diet. We've got to stop this. That's what we're trying to do today. Please welcome back the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss, Dr. Alicia Stanton. Dr. Stanton, we spoke about, we were getting into your seven steps to The Idiot's Guide for Hormonal Weight Loss. You talked about eliminating toxins, eating right. What's step number three?
Step number three, and we can actually just kind of go over because we spent the first half hour talking about it, is an enhance your hormone balance. And so basically, that just talks about how important all of your hormones are in your body, and that if you are significantly imbalanced, you may want to look at bioidentical hormone therapy, and it explains that.
Okay.
So we talked about that a lot the first half, so I think we can...
Sure, go, absolutely.
There is one neat thing. There's a quiz in here in the book that allows you to see if your hormones are out of bounds. And so you look at a number of different symptoms and kind of rate your symptoms, and you can focus on hormones that may be more likely to be out of balance based on your quiz answers.
Okay, so number four.
Number four is energize with stress management and increase sleep. Because one of the things we need to do to balance our hormones is to reduce our cortisol demand. And if you have less cortisol, you're going to balance your insulin out, and then, of course, we're going to balance the sex hormones out that we've been talking about. So this chapter has a number of different, first of all, explains it, but then has a number of different stress reduction techniques that you can do. Even the busiest person can do some of these things. I don't want you to go up on a mountain and meditate, you know, which would be great if you could. But even, you know, one of my favorite things to do is when I'm in traffic, just literally stop and do five deep breaths.
Right.
And that has been shown to lower cortisol. So those kinds of things, different journaling techniques, all kinds of things like that. And then also the other very important thing is that sleep is connected to obesity.
Sure, sure. And connected to stress. And that's interesting that you put them both, you know, in that same number.
Yeah, I mean, it's very critical. So there are a number of different techniques on how to optimize your sleep, different supplements to use, different things like that as far as sleep is concerned.
Yeah, and you know, the number one reason people aren't sleeping, Dr. Stanton, is because they have high levels of cortisol right before they go to bed.
Exactly.
So what about the light? What about getting dimmers, lowering the light? Because light is pollution to the brain at night, where it's kind of fooling us into thinking it's still daylight.
I think that the light is a huge issue. I know T.S. Wiley had written a book called Lights Out where she really talks about that. And she talks
about she's actually coming on the show.
I love her. She's a brilliant woman.
Yeah.
She talks about the fact that, you know, Thomas Edison kind of really messed everything up for all of us because now we all think it's summer all the time. And in summer, the light is long and insulin is high. And that creates a lot of issues for everybody. So I think that one of the things that I recommend in the chapter is to have your room as dark as possible. And I do that. It's made a huge difference for me.
Sure.
And one
more thing on that subject. What about coffee?
Well, coffee, you know, with the caffeine, is certainly, especially if you drink it in the evening, is going to create issues as far as your ability to fall asleep. And you're at the high stress. I do not recommend the 11 o'clock news, and hopefully no one who produces 11 o'clock news is listening, because all, you know, it's just all scary stuff, and then you can't go back to sleep. So that's an important thing as well.
Okay, so what's number five?
Number five is exercise, and you can't have a book talking about weight loss without discussing exercise. But the interesting thing that I talk about here is the importance of interval training and interval exercise and strength training. In reality, if you do prolonged aerobic activity, which is, you know, we all figure we'll just go jump on the treadmill for an hour, you actually raise your cortisol level.
Right, and once again, not to pick on this gender, but women are the ones that are notorious for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women say, oh, I don't want to lift weights, I don't want to be muscle-bound, I want to have a nice figure, but women don't realize that that muscle really gives them that structure, that shape. So resistance exercise is definitely one of the most important things. What's number six?
Number six, and one thing just for the exercise, there are a number of pictures. There are specific resistance exercises, specific programs in the book, and my husband's in some of the pictures, so you can see what a cute husband I have.
Showing off your husband. Okay.
Of course.
That was a real reason behind the book.
Heck yeah. Principle number six is evaluate how you eat. And essentially what you want to do is you want to look at what are your eating patterns. Are you sitting in front of the television and just kind of like, you know, shoveling food in your mouth, not eating consciously? Are you overriding your appetite control mechanisms? You know, what are the different things that you may be doing to kind of sabotage what's happening with your weight? And then there are a number of different things that you can do to help out, to help really appreciate how you're eating and what you're doing there.
Okay, and number seven?
And number seven is enlist the help of others. And basically, you know, it takes a village to help somebody lose weight and maintain the weight. And that's the real key, is maintaining that weight loss. The number of people that had help and had support were able to do it. So it talks about, you know, how to ask for help. It talks about places that you can find to get help, and, you know, how going it alone really makes your weight loss worse.
Okay, now here's something I want to ask you about, because we only have a couple of minutes left, and it is on the same topic. It's not really with hormones. It's more about the neurotransmitters. You know, you get a lot of people that go to their doctors. They're put on various medications. I mean, one of the huge classes behind statins is these selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Prozac and Zoloft, and then, you know, these people come back, and all of a sudden they have weight issues, but they never tie it back to the prescription medications they're on. What would you want to share to the public that maybe they've tried everything else, they want to read your book, but maybe they're on some medications that are really going to inhibit their ability to use that fat?
I actually talk about some of the different medications that can contribute to weight gain in the book. And, you know, one of the things, you're right, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors are there. I'm blinking right just for a second, but there are a number. And what I have them do is go back and talk to their physician. The first thing is never, ever stop a medication that you're on, you know, without discussing it with your physician. But talk to them, because those are tied to weight gain, and there are some classes of medications that might not be. So I'd have them review it with them and go through the list that's in the book that that would allow you to see what else you may be on that could be contributing to your weight gain.
Okay, and
beta blockers are another one. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What else would you want to share? Like, what would be the last thing you would want to share with the listening audience today?
The last thing I want to share is that you actually have a lot more control over your hormones and hormone balance than you might think. And if you just stop and you start thinking about what it is you're thinking, what it is you're putting in your mouth, how much you're moving, all of those things make a difference. And, you know, what you're doing today is going to make a huge difference tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I'm so impressed with you. I really am. I just think you're, never mind an incredible individual, I think you're the type of doctor that other doctors should aspire to be. And I really do mean that. You really encompass everything. You encompass modern medicine, but you also encompass alternative medicine, and you really try to get to the root cause. You're not a Band-Aid doctor, and I really applaud you. I appreciate that about you, and I really think everybody should try to find out more about what Dr. Alicia Stanton is all about, what she's doing. The book we spoke about today is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Hormone Weight Loss. It's available at Amazon.com. It's also available at other bookstores. I mean, Dr. Stanton knows her stuff. How can we get more information on you and everything you're involved with, Dr. Stanton?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your kind words. I really, really appreciate them. And you can get more information. You can sign up for my newsletter at DrAliciaStanton.com. And it's just DrAliciaStanton.com. And I'd love to hear from you.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today. We will be back next week with another incredible show. So go out, have yourself an unbelievable week, and we'll see you then. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.